as awesome as J. Michael Tatum.
Indeed. And what would you, and you brought up a very interesting thing. These days, a lot of voice acting is not done ensemble as it used to be. Why do you think that is extensively, especially in anime these days?
Well, I know that it would be nearly impossible to get an entire series recorded with everybody having to match the flaps. So it wouldn't just be me working to match flaps. It would be, you know, I would do a scene, we would see if that fit, and we would have to do the scene all over again if Ian's flaps didn't fit, or J. Michael Tatum's flaps didn't fit, or Colleen's flaps didn't fit. It would just be, it would be incredibly difficult to block off enough time to get entire episodes and entire scenes recorded. Not to mention, we all have crazy schedules. We're all working on different shows. Some of us are working in LA, New York, Texas. We do on camera work. We do commercials. So like I know when Brina was working on Starcross, she was working in Louisiana. I know there was for a point when I was working on a film in Pittsburgh with Shane Dawson, I was gone for a month in Pittsburgh and we had to figure out how I was going to record. It would have just lost so much time because there would have been no way for us to get schedules done. I have done a lot of ensemble records for original animation when I've worked on Disney projects or Nickelodeon projects or pilots or things like that. They'll usually bring us in and have us work with each other. And that's usually when there's no existing animation that we have to match. It's just like, we want to see you guys play off of each other. We want you to ad lib. If we find a funny line, we can animate around it. So normally when there's a little more freedom to animate afterwards, they don't mind doing, an ensemble record. I have talked to other people that have said ensemble records are very expensive to do because you have to pay all of the actors to be in the room for the entire time, whether they have three lines or they have 140 lines. Everybody is usually getting paid the same amount of, money. They usually pay by the hour. So that is not really the most cost-effective or time-effective way for some of the production.
Indeed. And you spoke earlier on accents.
Yeah.
I would like to definitely get into that. I mean, as being someone from outside of where you currently produce, I believe you said that being Texas, I mean, how does one neutralize one's accent or accentuate it to portray a character in a certain way? I mean, like, what are the techniques, you know, you guys have kind of made your standard?
Well, I don't know because I haven't actually had an accent. I don't have like a really thick Texas accent. I can put one on. But most of the time it's so hard for me to tell people how to do an accent or how to get rid of an accent, because I never worked with a dialect coach. I mean, I took voice and diction classes. But I that would just be like something I would work on breathing or for acting or projection or things like that. I mean, I took those classes in college or in workshops when I was growing up. But for me, the easiest way that I pick up an accent is I'll have somebody send me an email and say, we kind of want you to do this accent. And when I was like 7 or 8, they would say, we want you to do this kind of an accent. We want this kind of a character. And I would always ask, like, you want what character from what movie or what kind of specific dialect? And the great thing about YouTube is you can type in Midwestern accent or Cockney accent, or I know there was a website that we referenced a lot for when we were producing that, when we had to find regional accents for each country, and it was the same sentence that was read in all of these different accents by people that actually lived in those regions. But I usually just listen to movies. I will watch YouTube videos. I will watch interviews. If somebody says we need you to do an accent very similar to, I don't know, a French actress, reference this thing, they'll usually send you a video or do a voice match of this person. And sometimes it's not super close. Sometimes it's really close, just based on how your voice sounds versus how their voice sounds. But as far as accents go, I just pick up the sounds and mimic them like I would if I was learning a song and singing along with someone on the radio.
Indeed. Well, I mean, I would say definitely moving along, one of the side benefits of your profession is you get to go to cons. And being a former fan, I think that that's, you know, probably a very interesting experience. What is your feelings been on, you know, as an actor going to these cons and the experience thereof?
I mean, it's really fun. I didn't know that conventions were a thing until I got flown to, my husband just got home. I didn't know that cons were a thing until I got flown to, Boston by Funimation to promote Peach Girl. And so that was my introduction to it. And it was just an overwhelming introduction, and it was really cool to get to see the cosplayers, and they're making these weapons out of duct tape or tires or pipes, or and they look exactly like they do from the anime. They look super professionally done. I mean, it's a really great way, and I think cons are a really fun way to hang out with people, to get to see what shows people connect with, to get to talk to the fans. And then they get to shine their talents and what they are just insanely genius at, and how anime inspires them, to do these amazing things with what they're great at. I think that's just a really cool thing. And I love getting to see like different places that I go in the world or in the country that some shows are more popular than others. At the same time, it's just a different region. And I think that's always really interesting how different people connect with different shows.
Indeed. And being now you've gone from fan to presenter at several of these cons, I mean, what are your thoughts on the role reversal? I know that there is the story of the I believe it's the girl who came up to you and said she was a big time fan of Sailor Venus.
Yeah.
And that was like a very big moment for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was really cool that her mom was there, and I hadn't been cleared to talk about Sailor Moon yet. But this little girl came up and she just wanted an autograph. It was her first anime convention, and I think she was like 8, and she came up to me, she was wearing a Sailor Moon shirt, and I was like, oh, you love Sailor Moon? And her mom said, yes, Sailor Venus is her favorite. I'm showing her the series that I loved growing up. And she's like, so hopefully we get to meet the new voice actors, because these would be her voice actors. I mean, this would just be amazing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. This girl loves my character, and I can't tell her that I voiced this character. And I said, well, I'm a big Sailor Venus fan too. And she said, can we get a picture, just 2 Sailor Venus fans? And I thought, yeah, that would be great. I can't get in trouble for that. But yeah, that was definitely really, really amazing. Just that these little girls or girls my age or, you know, teenagers, that anime inspires them and that they want to talk to me for just voicing these characters. It's really, really cool.
Indeed. Finally, I'd like to ask, you know, is there anything else, you know, you'd like to say to my audience, especially for those who might be interested in going down the path that you have gone in being a voice actor themselves? I mean, what would you like to say to them?
Well, I would definitely say if you want to be a voice actor, you should first and foremost want to become an actor, because, you know, this business is hard enough to try to get a job. And then if you want to limit yourself on top of that by only wanting to do voiceover, you're going to make it next to impossible to ever make a career out of it. Because for a while, you're going to be having a survival job and going to auditions. And You could do an on-camera audition. You might not get cast in something, but there's an actor there that works at a dubbing facility or works for a company that does industrials or is working on a film, or a writer there, and they might say, you know what, you're not right for this, but we would like you to call in for this. And that you, it's all about networking and meeting people and working with people, and those people remembering you, getting you other jobs, and never saying no to any opportunity. I mean, when something comes up and it's not necessarily what you think you want to do, it's an opportunity. It's a time to grow. It's a time to learn. So you have to love this industry and you have to love this business, because you're going to be rejected 1,000+ times before you ever get a job. And you have to be okay with the rejection, and you have to be okay with just loving getting to go to that audition and playing that character for that day, because that's a gift. Being able to act that day, that's a gift. And you never have to, you can never stop learning. You can never stop growing. You can never stop going to classes. Never stop working. And then my other one that I have always told people is always be nice. Don't say anything bad about any actor or any director or any voice actor, even if it's a celebrity. You can make jokes, but I mean, I've made jokes in panels about Twilight isn't my favorite series, but I've seen films with all three of those actors in them where they do fantastic work. And when I watch Twilight, I'm like, where were they in? They were brilliant in this movie. Why didn't they bring this performance to that movie? But it wasn't what the film required. And the series was successful enough. They look beautiful on a t-shirt together. So sometimes that's all it takes to get cast. But you have to be nice to everyone. You can't say mean things about celebrities or other actors, because if you want to be an actor and you want to be successful, your hope is one day to work with those actors and those directors and those producers. And if you post something online or you post something on Facebook, there's always going to be the possibility that that might come back around to haunt you, and you don't want that. And just be grateful and live in the moment for any time you get an audition, any time you get a job. It's a gift, and it might not be there the next day. That's what's so hard about this business. You could have a month where you're working like crazy, and then 5 months where you have no work at all, and you have to go back to doing your survival job and doing some auditions or making your own YouTube videos so that you can keep your acting muscles working, so that when the big audition does come up, you're ready for it.
Indeed. But nevertheless, keep the faith.
Absolutely. No, you have to.
Indeed. Well, Sharami, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. And I wish you the best of luck on this, on these future ventures with Sailor Moon and all your other projects.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you again, and have yourself a nice day.
You too.
And this is Special K of the Black Flag Cast.